I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues UK Bills fan club. I've got Mark. No Robin. He's in Dubai. I don't know whether to call him lucky or unlucky.
So it's a holiday. It's like a footballer's holiday, isn't it, going to Dubai? Yeah. It feels like, you know, he's gone out there living his best life in the sunshine while we're dealing with 4 degrees and rain. You know, guide for him.
He could have waited at least another week before he actually went out there, because this one could potentially seal the number one seed for us. Obviously, we'll have still have the Patriots to go, but it's also near enough 5 years since that, since the Bengals actually gave us the playoff. First time in 17 years.
Indeed, yeah. Andy Dalton's heroics to beat the Ravens, I believe. And yep. When we were sat in the famous scenes in the locker room with our guys watching it and getting us into the playoffs. As amazing as that was, then you go into a wildcard weekend the following week or whatever, and we managed to score, 3 points or 6 points against the Jags, and we went home again. So,
yeah. Six yeah. or nine.
Six, it was like, yeah, we lost like 9-6 or something, didn't we? And yeah, an awful display.
Yeah.
And that was Tyrod Taylor through and through.
Yeah. We've got Josh Allen. And the interesting thing is, obviously, the guy that scored that touchdown to send us through to the playoffs, obviously Tyler Boyd, and we'll come on to this in a bit, obviously, it's not been very, well, trying to be less complimentary, but stoke the fire of this Bills defense. If you've not read the article in the New York Upstate by a Mr. Perino, where he calls the Bills defense basic, and a secondary not the best the Bengals have seen. So I think Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier will be pinning that onto the changing room door, to be honest.
Yeah. If we're talking about defenses, our defense overall, I think seventh best statistically in the league. Fourth best at stopping the run, which still blows my mind, by the way. But scoring sixth best in the league. Scoring second best in the league. Passing has let us down a little bit, but I think, let's be honest, we've had a few games that stat is marred a little bit by some games where our entire starting secondary from the start of the season has been out injured missing. So it's, yeah, I think there's statistics and then there's actually the, you know, what you can see on the game. And I think we all know that our pass defense is still as strong as ever.
Yeah, I think what's good news is Christian Benford is back designated. He was designated after the Bears game to return, so potentially they actually can get something out of him. But is that the one thing people are going to say in this is that the Bengals do have a potent offense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, okay, they're seventh overall in offense, fifth in passing, sixth in scoring, but only 26th in rushing. But you say Chase Higgins and Boyd, well, all together this season, 205 receptions, 2,693 yards, 20 touchdowns. Diggs, Davis, and Knox. What do you think they are?
More.
No, not as close.
Okay.
192 receptions, 2,626 yards, and 22 touchdowns.
Okay, yeah, that's closer than you would think.
So everyone baits on and on about the top three targets for the Bengals, obviously they're wide receivers, and yet they fail to understand that the Bills are pretty much exactly in the exact same boat with our top three targets. Plus, who else you got for the Bengals to really worry about underneath?
Yeah, no one really. I think you'd be looking at someone like Hayden Hurst, but he's out injured probably. Maybe could return. But yeah, there's not a huge amount else there. I think it's something to say that, you know, who else have they got other than those three excellent weapons? I think if we manage to stop Ja'Marr Chase, I think that we probably win the game. They've got plenty in their passing game to do us damage with what they've got already.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No doubt. And I think that's the one narrative that I just hate with the media. They pick on one thing and yet they just indulge. They don't delve deep into it.
Yeah.
Cause obviously they say the Bills ain't got a top three targets that actually really going to cause any damage. Well, that results there. But then also underneath, we've now got Cole Beasley, if he's going to be activated, which I think if that's if we do this week, that'll be the last time they'll be able to activate him unless they put him fully on the 53-man roster.
Yeah.
Shakir and McKenzie underneath. Yep. So I think it's going to be a clash of the Titans. I think it's probably I think someone's described it as the best Monday night football, or potentially going to be the best Monday night football of the season.
Oh, I mean, I can't think of another one off the top of my head that even comes close. Not only in terms of what the game should be like, because we're talking about two massively explosive, pass heavy offenses here, going against two teams that, although the Bills' rank is higher, neither pass defense is what you would classify as their strong suit. It's one of those games that you think should end up being like 35-31 or more. But you add that to the fact that of the significance of the game, that's what makes it the biggest Monday night of the season, probably for many a season. It feels like a Super Bowl almost. It's huge in terms of what the game should be like and what it means, because this is the game, isn't it? We win this one. I think that the chances are we should. If we're number one seed going into like the week 18 and we've got the Patriots to get by, if we manage to blow it against the Patriots, then we want fucking shooting. This is the one that potentially drops us even down as low as third seed if other results in this week and next week don't go our way. So yeah, it's massive, massive game. It feels like so much has been building up to this one.
It's kind of fitting. I mean, it's two fan bases that actually have mutual respect for each other. Yeah. And it's a rivalry that needs to happen more. And I think we'll be, I don't know, just judging by the type of offense now, obviously we take Kansas City out because obviously they lost Tyreek Hill. They're still potent on offense, but you've got two teams, Cincinnati and Buffalo, who are almost following the same mantra here.
Yeah.
Strong defense and a very pass heavy but eccentric and electric offense.
Yeah, they feel similar to us, to me. They feel,
yeah,
you know, superstar quarterback Joe Burrow is a fantastic player, generational talent, and the Bengals are extremely lucky to have him. Running game, you would think that they would have a stronger running game than they do, I think, with Joe Mixon, but that's sort of through a combination of injury and poor play, that hasn't quite gone to how they thought. I feel like offensively they set up a lot. They are obviously similar to us a couple of years ago. An awful lot of draft capital and free agency time and spend went into the offensive line after last season, and they've managed to play the same offensive line, I think, for the vast majority of this season. They're unlucky in so much that Lael Collins, their right tackle, is out injured his knee last week and is expected to be out for the rest of the season, however long that is for them. So that's a blow. That's the first time their offensive line has changed in a long time. But they're us, aren't they? They're superstar quarterback, they're superstar wide receiver one. offensive line that is designed to keep the quarterback upright rather than to create gaps for a run. And then it's a bend, not break, good enough defense that is good at stopping the run, but not getting to the quarterback, but isn't really designed to, it's more a contain in pass defense rather than be completely shut down. It's just, it's them who's better on the day.
I just think, I think there is ways. I mean, that as much as that offensive line of the Bengals are sturdy and they've played pretty much the same five throughout the whole season, they still actually have trouble at times keeping Burrow upright. I think he's still one of the most heavily sacked quarterbacks in the
I think start of the season, when they had their, like, the first month, they were 2-2, had their little bit of a blip. I think he was taken down an awful lot then. I think they've got their stuff together more recently. And I think it's one of the certainly more in-form offensive lines at the moment. As with every O-line, though, you can, if you're people who are, like, rushing the quarterback, you can only keep them out. I don't care how good your offensive line is. You can only keep out a guy that is that big and that fast for so long on so many times. You know, it's sometimes it needs the quarterback to do something special. It needs the wide receiver to get open. It will come down to whose pass rush is like the two key things for me is whose pass rush is more effective. That's where losing Von Miller is still a massive blow for us. But if they can get to Josh Allen more than we can get to Joe Burrow, that's a big tick in their box. And then it's which set of defensive backs has a better day against the wide receivers. And that's the key matchup as much as anything for me. Yeah. It's we've allowed, I think, 250 or more yards passing only five times this season. And only three touchdowns passing only once in one game. Whereas Joe Burrow, his passing attack that's topped 250 yards nine times and scored three or more touchdowns six times this season. So it's kind of like what they managed to do an awful lot, we don't often let teams do. So it's who wins. Yeah. What's deemed to be the unstoppable object in their offense or our defense that is hopefully able to put the kibosh on it. We'll see. It's fascinating. I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just looking up the stats here. I think what was it? Bengals are 8th in sacks allowed on the offense with 42.
Yeah.
On there, so it's going to be hard. I mean, obviously, we're talking our pass rush on there. I mean, you've got Russo obviously now taking over the mantle from Von Miller. And little to think that even AJ Epenesa has been quietly an underrated guy.
He's on
seven sacks already. He's already got seven sacks this season.
Yeah. I think it's he's definitely stepped up, and I think the one of the key for me is Ed Oliver. He's in the last since he's gone down, Von Miller. That is, I think Ed Oliver's really stepped up, and he's going to need to get to Joe Burrow early and often to make the difference. We need to get in his face. We need to put him on his ass as many times as we possibly can, just to create that kind of the chaos and the tension that's going to make his life a little bit more difficult. They have felt to me recently, the last couple of weeks, you look at last week, they were playing the Patriots and to go in at 22-0 up at halftime and then almost, and they should have lost the game.
Yeah.
For the Patriots to play,
it was funny. A load of Bills fans were actually cheering the Bengals on.
For the Patriots, yeah. Because it would have meant we could have lost this game and we would have still been in first place. And they should have done. The Patriots blew it. And whilst it's always funny to see the Patriots blow anything, it says everything you need to know about them. But there is an element to me of it feeling like the Bengals have, you know, they had a couple of games where they were playing extremely well. They didn't play so well against the Buccaneers, but still won. Were eventually lucky against the Patriots to win, but won. Yeah, we'll see. It's I think I when I had a look earlier on, I think if you look at the teams that they've beaten this season that have winning records at the moment, you're talking about the Chiefs that they played early December. And I don't think the only other one is maybe the Dolphins. Yeah, the Dolphins. They're the only two teams they've beaten this season that have winning records.
Let's have a look. Jets.
Jets they, losing they, record. They're next. Jets are 7-8 at the moment, losing record.
So they lost to Steelers, Cowboys, beat Ravens. The Jets. Lost to
the Ravens, so didn't beat them. Saints have a losing record, 6-9. Falcons have a losing record. Lost to the Browns. Beat the Panthers, losing record. Beat the Steelers, losing record. Beat the Titans, who have a losing record. Beat the Chiefs. You can't argue with that. That was a fantastic display. But then Browns, Bucks, Patriots, none of which have a winning record.
Mm.
So yeah, it seems stupid when you're talking about the Patriot when you're talking about the Bengals to be all like, oh, you know, but who have they played? But their schedule hasn't been the hardest. Let's put it that way. It's going to be really interesting to see when they come up against a team like us that does have a significant winning record. Are they able to still be the same team?
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those interesting games. I mean, let's say defensive wise, I think they're both really, really skilled. They do it in different ways. I mean, the Bengals, they like to rush with three usually and get results out of it. Obviously, the Bills, as Tyler Boyd says, we're basic. We don't throw a lot of what was his words? Kind of basic. They don't do too much disguising. It's kind of straightforward and all that. But yeah,
if it works, Tyler, well, then you know why change it?
Yeah, I mean, I was reading somewhere in the last series against the Bears, they even changed their look. They went to a three-man rush and brought Saran Neal in. Because obviously, right, against the Chiefs, they struggled when they went down there. They left that open field a little bit more stretched. But bringing in Saran Neal, going three up front, at least gives you that linebacker, safety, big nickel-type guy who can come down and actually hit that gap. And when you pair it with Edmonds and Milano in there, he's literally playing strong run stop and defense, and it seemed to work. It kept Justin Fields quiet.
Yeah.
And looks like something we can actually adapt and put into it for the even for the fourth quarter. If they're trying to make, if teams are trying to make comebacks, do it like that, make it harder for them to go for the big plays, short out underneath, where you've got Johnson, Neal, Milano, Edmonds, and all that can actually go down and actually take out those underneath routes.
Yep. But yeah, I feel like this is a matchup that suits us, like bizarrely, considering who it is we're playing, almost more than I felt going into the Bears game. I just feel like our strengths match up well with the Bengals, and I'll probably, like, you know, be sat here next week after we've been beaten 41-10, like looking like a knob. But I just feel like I'm bizarrely confident going into this game. I think we match up well with them. I think our strengths offensively help theirs, and like you point out, defensively, I think we've got the players in the right positions to do damage.
And I think it just relies now on this offense. Can we actually start getting that run game going now? I mean, James Cook leads all rookie rushers in yards per carry. And this comes from a guy that played bit part for the first half, a bit of the season, then startlingly exploded. You've got Singletary, who's now starting to explode. We had both of them nearly 100 yards Both of them nearly got 100 yards. Obviously, Singletary did, and all that. And you try and compare it to a rush game of the Bengals. They're seventh against the rushing, 21st against passing. In their offense, Singletary has run 170 rushes, 790 carries at 4.6 yards per average with 5 touchdowns. Joe Mixon, 199 rushes, 787 yards, 4 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns. And Mixon's missed 2 extra games. So I feel that it's going to be more of how the Bills can now stop this offense as this passing display, rather than can the Bills stop the run game. Because I think that run game of the Bengals is not as strong as it once was.
No,
and leaves us to focus more on trying to stop the three: Chase, Higgins, and Boyd. But in a way, I think it's there. I think it's there to be. To be had.
Yeah, I think we need Tre'Davious White to really get going in this one. If he's likely to be matched up against Chase quite a lot, he's going to need to have a great game, because he's a bit like, you know, he's in there, that kind of like Justin Jefferson class of people who are only, you can keep him quiet for 3.5 quarters, but then that connection can find a way to make something happen out of nothing, a couple of massive plays, and all of a sudden he's had 6 catches for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns, and you think, yeah, where did that come from? So Trey White needs to have a big game. He's been on and off since he's come back from injury. That's massive. It's the key battle, isn't it? It's the key battle is our DBs versus their wide receivers. If we can keep them quiet, and so they, you know, we're making life difficult for Joey Burrow. I think we win the game. I think offensively, yes, we should have enough. Let's be honest. Like Bills, a Josh Allen firing on all cylinders, Josh, is a sight to behold. As we saw, and as you mentioned in the last pod, if we get Josh that played against the Dolphins, superb. Mm. If we get Josh that played against the Bears, we're in a bit more trouble. But it's that pass offense should have more than enough to pick apart the secondary of Cincinnati. Should do.
Yeah.
I think one thing that we haven't seen for a little while now is the BFFs Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs combination. He needs to get him going far earlier in the game and a lot more. I think he had, what 2 catches for 26 yards against the Bears?
Yeah.
It feels like there's that connection. There's something going on with it at the moment. That's the second lowest he's had in his time at Buffalo. He's only had 10 catches for 123 yards and no scores in his last 3 games.
Yeah, I think
we need that. 10 catches for 123 yards to be his stat line for this game, along with a couple of touchdowns. Like Diggs needs to get going, and Josh needs to find him.
I think with what to stop Chase, I think this is what people will need to do is actually jam him at the line, because you give him that free release, because he's got pace on him. Don't get me wrong, he's got so much pace, and actually can blow the top off quite easily. But if they manage to jam him, that give it a little bit more. A little bit more time to actually. I've just lost what I'm trying to figure out. What I'm trying to say. Here.
It gives your DB a chance, right? If he's just running past you, it makes their life a lot harder. If we can jam him at the line of scrimmage, make life difficult, it makes it harder to get into his route, and that's when you hope our pass rush gets home. So it's, you know, a lot of players going to have to step up. You hope that Leslie Frazier has picked up on that. You know, I'm sure he will have done. He knows that how you need to play people like Jamar Chase. We've done it very well. We did it against Justin Jefferson a lot because he's quite similar a lot of the time. But again, you know, Jefferson made a couple of huge plays. I think we need to accept that they're going to score points. We're not going to win the game, you know, 31-32-10 in this one. It's going to be close. That offense is going to put up points. We just have to score more. And I think it will come down to that.
I think Diggs' thing, I think it it can be, and the Athletic and Joe Pescalio and his All 22 review does make a bit of a point on there that obviously the Allen's focus is obviously what taking what the defence gives to him. Even if Diggs is free, if he's in zone coverage, he's going to try and find him a little bit more, but he's also going to try and find, try and get his eyes elsewhere to at least try and move this defence around. But it's also on the play type. I mean, against the Bears, we had so much fun actually running the ball with that. Is probably a reason why we didn't throw as much and Diggs obviously didn't get targeted. Plus, it was probably the game plan of the Bears to really take away Diggs as best as possible on there. But yeah. I think we'll see Diggs coming up a bit more. And this hopefully now is where if we get Beasley back in for this game, or we can get Knox and Davis a little bit more involved, that will take the double coverage away from Diggs and obviously help the Bills go faster. I mean,
I always feel like that their DBs are people that you can get at. Eli Apple is you know, he's something or nothing. Cam Taylor-Britt as the other corner, I think, has done okay. Von Bell's a great safety. But I think their corners are people that you can get at. And so, yeah, even if I can see Diggs getting a lot of attention from safety, there's going to be a lot of safety help to the corner, whoever's picking up Stephon Diggs. So you need your other guys to step up, and we need to get them going. I think there should be a fair bit of space for Knox. I feel like he might have a big game. And this is going to need to be one of Gabe Davis's, you know, 10 catch, hopefully 8, 9, 10 catch games, no drops, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. Let's hope he has that kind of performance. That's what we need.
I think, and I've been looking through like PFF and their premium stats and all that. And it's interesting to see the most targeted for Stephon Diggs this season. I mean, the majority of his 1,000 yards plus has come up the middle.
Yeah.
Rather than going out, it's pretty much up the middle. So within up until 10 yards is actually 306 yards of that. He's been targeted 29 times. And he's more useful and more targeted and successful when he's either between numbers or on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
And Josh's passing, can you can see, and again, going for PFF, he has more success, weirdly, to his outside left. Yeah. His, out of all his 14 interceptions, when he throws to his left and outside the numbers, he only throws 2 interceptions. When he throws between the numbers, he's throwing 6 interceptions. When he throws outside right, he's thrown 5 interceptions.
Surprises me.
Yeah. I think his most highest passer ratings is within 10 to 20 yards outside right. 122.6 rating.
That's his highest passer rating.
That's the highest pass rating there. His next highest one is when he's going 20 plus yards up the middle, where it's actually 111.2.
Well, let's keep doing that then. all day long. Let's find those passes. I mean, that suits me fine.
Even though he's given up 6 in the up the middle between numbers, his quarterback ratings up the middle are actually 95%, 97%, 106%, 111%. But that's where he gives up majority of his actual plays, his interceptions. It's crazy, really.
It is. Yeah, that is bizarre.
And it's just a way now we've got to get the game plan going to actually make sure we can get a turnover-free Josh and have that slobber knocker, because he's great when he's actually not being blitzed, especially pass-wise, and also when they're playing no screen.
Yeah.
So we can get, if we get that going, Josh can pick up quite a bit with his legs and with his arms when he's not blitzing. He's got time. And obviously we know the screen game is complete and utterly shite at the moment. That if we can get rid of that, the more the better.
Yeah, Phil, you're exactly. I think that Ken Dorsey needs to. This is time to shine now. You know, if you're going to step up, number one seed on the line, can't blow it here. Just can't do it. It's everything that we've been playing for to get that number one seed. Get teams coming into Buffalo in late January, throughout the playoffs. There's home field advantages, and then, I mean, we've seen what the weather in Buffalo has been like this week, where with their cars when they came back from the Bears game and they're under 6 feet of snow. Teams want no part of that. They want they absolutely are not interested in coming to Buffalo when they're used to Kansas weather, when they're used to Miami weather, or like wherever weather. If we can, it can't be overstated how important this game is.
Yeah. So one last fact, and this is another one of not a history making from Josh Allen, but he was the first player last year in NFL history to throw for over 4,000 yards and rush for 750 yards in a season.
Yep.
He's only 4 rushing yards away from doing it again back-to-back years.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And you talk about Jalen Lamar Jackson, those type of quarterbacks that are more that could hit those records, and yet you've got Josh, who's more of a passer than an actual running runner, that are holding pretty much all these records.
Yeah, I love it when you see those pictures, and it's like list of quarterbacks that have however many yards and 750 rushing yards. Josh Allen, that's the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely to see. Lovely to see. Do you know what? We've won 6 regular season games in a row at the moment. Do you know what's, if we win this game and then win our last game to get number one seed, do you know the last time we won 8 regular season games in a row?
Flipping heck, we're going back a fair few years. I'm going to say like 96 or something.
1990.
Oh, 6 years out.
1990, the season of the first Super Bowl. So, yeah, that's going back an awful long way. And it just, there's something poetic about 8 games in a row, winning 8 games in a row. Last time we did it, got to the Super Bowl. That'd be nice again.
Yeah. And obviously the Bengals are on a 7 game winning streak. So someone's winning streak is coming to an end.
Indeed. Yeah. Let's hope it isn't ours.
No. And it's obviously a reminder that how we got into holding the destiny of our own stuff. We've played 5 weather games, had multiple disasters and injuries with defense and non-consistent O-line. Only 7 of our games were at home. We obviously had to take a couple. We had to take one away.
Yeah.
Josh Allen with his elbow injury. We were bottom of the AFC East. And
it's ridiculous that, isn't it? Like a few weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, like, oh, look at the Jets and the Dolphins. Aren't they really good now? We're crap. Are we even going to make the playoffs? Since then, we haven't lost a game, and I think they've struggled to win a game. It's been unbelievable.
Exactly. I think the record is the Bills in December this year are 4-0, I believe. The Jets, Patriots, and Dolphins combined are like 1-11 or 1-12. In December.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Considering the conditions we've had to deal with, yeah, it's mental. And we've lost 3 games this season by a total 8 points. Mm. We've got to get over the line. We've got to.
Yeah.
And the amount of effort, the work we've put in, the adversity we've faced with the conditions, with the injuries we had, especially early on in the season, Josh's elbow. I think there's a lot of people questioning us at the moment because we haven't been as electric recently. Wouldn't it be great to put on a real display, get that momentum going into the playoffs, secure number one seed and get it all through Buffalo? It'd be incredible. It's a massive game. Can't wait for Monday night.
Yeah. So let's hear your score prediction then. Let's hear your final thought and your prediction.
Oh, so such a massive game. feel like we need to, this needs to be like a proper offense steps up game. We need Diggs to have a massive performance. We need our pass rush to have a massive performance. They're going to score points and we can't worry too much if they're racking up, you know, like 20s, 30 points, because we need to do the same again. I'm going to say 34-31 Bills.
Yeah, so I think I'm kind of like you in that. I think it's definitely going to be a heavyweight clash, a slobber knocker of a clash, with both teams actually slinging it out. I kind of feel that we might have a little bit more of an edge on the defensive side. The yep. fact that, as we mentioned, that we've shut down the run surprisingly well, even though it's probably shocked the majority of people. And the fact that the Bengals don't have that much of a run game means we'll focus mainly on the pass defense and actually trying to obviously slow down the Hydra of Higgins, Chase and Boyd.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to try and say around about the same. I think there will be error prones made by both quarterbacks in this one. I don't think this is going to be... You know what? I'm going to have to agree with you and say the score. As much as I want to say a little bit lower, I just think the firepower from both teams really, really is just going to make this a spectacle. And Bills come out on top and Parcells a Patriots win. And wouldn't that be ironic against the Patriots who have always beaten us for number one seeds each time or used us to lock up the number one seed. We get to do it to them in week 18. So I think it's going to be, I think we'll win. I think it's going to be 34-31 again, like you. So we agree.
I mean, I'd take it. I'd take 34-33. Don't care. Whatever. So long as we have 1 point more than them at the end, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care. Josh can throw 5 interceptions so long as he scores 6 touchdowns. And they obviously don't score anything off those interceptions. Who knows?
No.
Huge game.
The key is going to be the Bills pass rush. We don't have a finisher, but we've secretly got a strong edge presence in Epinesa and Russo.
Yeah.
And obviously up the middle. So that's where it's going to be won. How can we attack that O-line? But it's going to be a game for the ages. It's going to be game of the season, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Huge game, massively important. Got to get it done. Got to go get the win. Go Bills.
So that's all it is for Mark and myself. Just keep following us on the socials. You know all this by now. Keep tuning in, following, liking, subscribing. And for Mark, myself, Matt, Robin somewhere in Dubai. Wish it was raining for him.
Yeah, but bring back some sunshine, Robin.
It's from the two of us. It's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3.